My name is Tunde Okorodudu. I am a Nigerian. I reside in Oakland, California. I've been here for quite a while. I went to school in San Francisco State University. And during my school days, that was during the apartheid struggle days. And I never knew I was going to find myself in the midst of fighting similar cause for my country. So before I'm going to start discussing this, I want to share with you just the most recent divestment ordinance we've been successfully able to pass on not just a citywide level, but a countywide level in Northern California. Just 2 months before this particular tape, we passed similar resolution in the city of Berkeley. And the amazing thing about Berkeley was that students were the backbone of that struggle. So you can see what students can do. And I was saying earlier on, during the South African struggle, when I was in college then, it was the students. Although the longshoremen were the first group that opposed offloading cargoes coming from South Africa, but the student in Berkeley, San Francisco State, Stanford, San Jose, took it up, and it became a wave, the whole country. Now, Nigeria, why Nigeria? Nigeria is in West Africa, a country that contains 110 million black people. As a matter of fact, we are considered the largest population of black country in the world. We represent 1/4 of the black race. And of course, if Nigeria is not free, no black citizen in the world is free. So what we're fighting for here is not just freedom of Nigeria, but freedom of black people and freedom of human beings. We decided to take up this struggle when there was an election that occurred in June 12, 1993. This election, we used this election just as a catalyst for this struggle for change. We've been having problems with military rule since 1966 when they took over for the first time. And at first we thought, well, military is going to be our savior from corrupt politicians. But they became more corrupt, more brutal, and people cannot even speak their mind. This election took place, people voted their mind and chose one, not one of the best leaders, but lesser of two evils, I'll say. Chief Moshood Abiola was elected president. Before the election result would even be finalized, the military general then in power, General Ibrahim Babangida, decided to annul the election. For what reason, up till today, we don't know. That was one problem there. Then the people rise for the first time and say, no, we can't take it anymore. Military have been rolling us on and off. Together, combined, out of our 36 years of independence, we got our independence in 1960. From then till now, you can say 37 years ago, military have ruled us for 27 years. And I can understand if they want to rule and bring changes, but they've worsened our economic condition, our social condition, human rights, at the low peak ever in history, the worst almost anywhere in the world. Like Zani just said, Burma, I'm not surprised. Nigerian military were trained in Burma during the Second World War. So you can see the similarities. Now, there was another great guy called Ken Saro-Wiwa. Most of you know who he is here. Ken Saro-Wiwa was an environmental activist. How did he come to the picture? This is what we are really addressing today. Corporate responsibility. Corporations, they rule countries. They're not just corporations. Actually, they even rule the United States. They tell President Clinton what to do. So if they can do that here, you can imagine what they do in Africa, in Nigeria in this case. Shell, Chevron, Mobil, Coca-Cola, IBM, and name them, many others. They determine who rules, who is in power, who they want, who they don't want. Well, to some extent, they might have the power to do that, but when it comes to being very brutal, then we have to draw a line. We decided to pull ourselves together. Immediately, Ken Saro-Wiwa's trial was undergoing. In 1994, he was arrested because he organized these people to fight against environmental degradation of his land, Ogoni land, which is part of Nigeria. Ogoni is just an example of what's going all over the country that nobody hears about. Actually, Ogoni oil represents 3% of Nigerian oil production. But because of the charismatic leader, people were able to know what's going on in Nigeria. And he inspired me also to begin to organize. Even though I was more of an activist in my school days, but I never thought about myself going back to trenches again to work with the grassroots. I was already working out there trying to make a living, but I have to face reality. If my country is not free, I'm not free. So that's where we started this struggle. When this election was annulled, we decided to mobilize ourselves and start writing letters to Congress, to the State Department, to the Nigerian military that we want this election announced. Of course, they thought we were joking. They didn't even respond to us. Then they added insult upon injury. Executed Ken Saro-Wiwa. Then we said, no more. You can't just keep killing our people just anyhow. We decided to really come together and form a movement. From different movements, we all then formed an umbrella group called the Free Nigerian Movement. We started talking to city council members. As you know, the best way to get things done is through the grassroots. Most of our colleagues thought going to talk to the Congress and the State Department would make a difference. It didn't make much difference because those people only respond to their grassroots, their constituency. So we said, look, we're going to do it the way it's been done. Start from the bottom. It might take a while, but the result will be consistent. So we started working our way up. So far, I'm very proud to say we've built coalition with other groups. Some of them are here, Gene from the Speak Out, Project Underground, 50 Years is Enough, Greenpeace, Amnesty International, Sierra Club. We've linked up with all these organizations and bring our plight on the table. We all begin to discuss about it. Students in UC Berkeley, San Francisco State, they are all working with us. The first ordinance that was passed against Nigeria, Selective Purchase Ordinance, was passed in Oakland. We're talking about binding ordinance. We were instrumental in it. And it became the beginning. Now we are proud to say we've been able to get Berkeley, Alameda County, which is about 16 cities combined. We are working on San Francisco. At this time on Monday morning, we're going to be picketing in San Francisco, where we intend to rechange a street name which is known as Shell Corner on Bush and Battery in San Francisco, and honor the name of Ken Saro-Wiwa, since Shell and Ken Saro-Wiwa are intertwined. They killed Ken Saro-Wiwa. They influence the government. They are importing weapons, not just to annihilate the people of Ogoni, but all other oil producing area. Because the corporation, like we're saying, the only way for them to exploit the land is to put dictators in power who will not deliberate things to just assure them of their own benefit, stash money in their foreign accounts, and then they can rip up the land. That's what they're doing in Nigeria, and anybody who speaks out is a dead meat. So we say we can't continue like this, and the United States cannot fold their arms and allow this to be going on. That's why we brought this struggle to the forefront. We are appealing to you all as students here, because students make a lot of power. Just like Zani said earlier on, the pen is mightier than the sword. With all their military might, the only worriness that worries the Nigerian government is the university students. Most university colleges are shut down 9 months in a year in Nigeria. They have military tanks in front of university campuses. The last June 12th election I was talking about, over 72 students were killed for demonstrating peacefully. So these are your colleagues. They're violating their rights. We need to speak out on that. It doesn't matter where they exist. They're one of us. My own brother died in that incident. I lost a person. So it's personally affecting me. I'm not saying that's why I'm here fighting, but I mean for the country, for the human race. That's why we're asking you, please, please. Before we leave here today, we have stacks of our information, the Free Nigeria Movement, working with other groups. We formed a committee called CISPON, Committee in Support of the People of Nigeria. You can start that committee in your own campus and start the work. Nigeria needs to be heard. It's a very important issue. United States import 10% of the oil from Nigeria, although it's not much, but that's 50% of Nigerian production. Shell alone imports. We have Chevron there. Now we are proud to say that in Berkeley and in Alameda County, the city council and the county have said they're boycotting Chevron and Shell. They're turning all the credit cards they're using, purchasing all the gasoline for all the civic vehicles and police cars and fire brigade cars, worth millions of dollars, away from Shell and Chevron. Actually, they're asking us to help them search for oil companies. We don't want to trespass on boycott of Burma oil. We have Texaco, Arco, Unical in Burma, so they're even short of where to import oil from. As a matter of fact, we even came to a compromise with them and said, maybe you might consider Exxon. Exxon violated Alaska's environmental rules, but they met some requirement by cleaning up the environment and paying compensation. That's simply what we're asking in Nigeria also. Shell is accountable to pay for the damages they've done. The people, the indigenes, where they drill this oil, they don't even have basic pipe-borne water to drink. No light, no roads, no schools. They even had the guts to come to Oakland because they're trying to undermine our campaign. The campaign is holding ground in the Bay Area and California. So what is Shell and Chevron doing now? They're trying to divide the black community. They've been to NAACP, give them money, go to Urban League, give them money, go to the Oakland School Board, donate $2 million towards some trumped-up scholarship for the Oakland school children. But we went to all these places and spoke out. As a matter of fact, I was invited here today through some of the issues that came out on the internet about what we're doing in that area. Amy Dalton invited us to come and speak at this place because of our activities there. I want to thank her for giving us this opportunity. But it's because we're out there really challenging the system. That, look here, the city of Oakland have passed an ordinance against this brutal regime. You cannot be behind the scene collecting money from the same corporations. It contradicts the principle of what we're trying to do. And we have to expose those double standards. We continue to do that. And we ask you to help us spread the word in your own area. Please, before you leave here, every one of you should have a starter kit of the Free Nigeria Movement and some articles, newspaper write-ups about what we've been doing with other organizations. They are all available. Contact number, our email, our website. And also, we decided to go one step further. In order for the Nigerian fellow citizens to know that they're not alone, that we are concerned and we are working towards that liberation, we have now acquired a shortwave clandestine radio station. We broadcast... Thank you. We broadcast into Nigeria weekly. And of course, part of this conference will be broadcast into Nigeria next week. That's why we are recording part of it, to let them know that people do care all over the country. American people care. They've been listening and supporting them. So to give them some hope that there's a light at the end of the tunnel, because Nigerian students are all, they've lost hope. They can't step outside. Any attempt to assemble the military, stampede on them, start shooting live bullets. Many of them are killed. There are big armored tanks in front of all university campuses. This is not right. We need to oppose it. Each one of us here have to pick up the pen, write a letter to our own city council member in our own area. Let's start it from the grassroots. The Council of Mayors, the Conference of Mayors, nationwide, collectively came together about 3 months ago in San Francisco and passed a resolution condemning what's going on in Nigeria, which means half of your job has been done. They've already agreed that there is a problem. So it's up to us in the grassroots level to take it to each of our city council members and say, look, we want you to address this issue. Just like we've been doing for Burma and the other citizens, we want Nigeria issue brought to the forefront too, so that we can once and for all free the world community of atrocities. Corporations will be put to accountability. We are not against corporations trying to do business, but they must be accountable. The rules that govern them must be implemented. They cannot go and pollute our land, take all our oil, and give us crops and connive with the government. The citizens of Nigeria don't have no food to eat. Some of them don't get 3 square meals a day. As a matter of fact, at this minute we are talking, the oil workers of Nigeria and their secretary general, in particular, Milton Dabibi and Frank Kokore, the Secretary General of the Nigerian Oil Workers Union, was in prison. They are all in prison for the past 3 years without trial because they spoke out about their rights. The workers have not been paid for the past 3 months, whereas $2.3 million barrels of oil are drilled from Nigeria daily by the oil companies. Where are all this money? The people in the villages where the oils are being drilled, they can't even kill fishes in the water anymore. They can't grow yam on their land because everywhere is polluted. Gas is flaring everywhere. Children are dying of malnutrition, all kinds of diseases we don't even know. We need to put an end to this. So we ask you all to help us. I want to thank you all for giving me the opportunity to speak before you. God bless you all. Thank you.